Hi everyone, Jim Rizzoli here in East Texas, and I have Phil Crane with me today, the man everyone wants to hate sometimes. But I think Phil has a lot of good stuff to say. At least he gets us questioning things, and I'm sure we'll have a good conversation today. But Phil, I put my video up there about the flat earth. I got a lot of comments on that video.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah, it's a hornet's nest. It's always sure to liven things up. And you know, in my opinion, I've seen too much fakery from NASA, too much laughable excuses. You know, the Challenger astronauts are still alive. And you know, and I remember in 1986 that how it traumatized the entire country about the first teacher in space, and Sharon McAuliffe was, and they put a TV in all the classrooms, and so all these kids, all these school kids, were traumatized because they saw the shuttle explode. And but no, I mean, two of the surviving astronauts claimed to be the twin brothers of the astronauts that day. It's like, we know that they did not have twin brothers at the time of launch. They've just invented themselves as being twin brothers. And Judy Resnick.
Do you say that the shuttle didn't explode or what?
Yeah, it did explode. All these rockets that get launched, there's never anybody on board. When Wernher von Braun was making his V2 rockets, they were designed to be unmanned, and these rockets have always been unmanned. I mean, these things have a high failure rate, these rockets, and you know, we're told that these billionaires get on these rockets. If I was a billionaire, I wouldn't get on one of those rockets. I mean, come on, they have a like 1 in 20 of them are going to blow up. It's like that's the stupidest thing. These people are not getting on board these things. You know, the Skylink, Elon Musk's new rocket, it failed the first launch. Just it happened like a month ago. It's like, are you telling me after 80 years of building rockets, you're still having them blow up after launch? It's like these. No sane person would ever get on board one of these things. That they're always empty. And so what, one day in 1986, they were launching another one of their rockets that was empty, but it blew up, and it blew up in front of everybody. So they had to tell everybody, oh my gosh, we're going to have to tell everybody that they're dead. And so that's what happened. And so they had no choice. But Judy Resnick, she was on board that flight, and she was the first Jew that was going into outer space. And she has a very distinctive voice, like many Jewish women do. And she's teaching a law class at Yale. I mean, it's her. She didn't even change her name. And she's got that same voice. She sounds like Fran Drescher, you know? And then it's like, that's her. Just the voice itself tells you that it's her. And so, and people get in arguments with me, and they say, it's like, there's no way that two of these people can be twin brothers. And there's no way that this woman is not Judy Resnick, because it's her. And you know, the other likenesses are more questionable, but the three nail it. You know, the two twin brothers and Judy Resnick, it nails the case. I mean, that they're still alive. And so yeah, they're launching empty rockets, and they're not going into space, and all the rest is just filmed in a studio.
Yeah. And now, getting back to the flat earth situation, I put that video up about that guy, whatever his name is, Bomb or something, Bird Brain. I don't know. I can't remember his name.
Oh yeah, Baumgartner. Yeah.
Baumgartner. Yeah. Okay, so you know, I'm trying to be objective looking at the video. And the first thing I'm noticing, I'm saying, this guy is not high enough to be able to see the whole earth, you know, like from end to end. I mean, he's not high enough. And so he's coming down, and then, you know, they're showing the looks like the round earth, you know, blah, blah. Yeah. And I'm not convinced that video was real or something. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, the fisheye lens really distorts it. And Eric Dubay because Eric Dubay debunked the Baumgartner jump. And he said, what you're looking at is one county in New Mexico. And so it was like he was standing over planet New Mexico, because the whole planet was just New Mexico. And so, yeah, the fisheye lens really distorted the view there. And but in the inside camera, they had another camera on the inside of the capsule. It showed the horizon being flat, you know, so two different cameras showed two different views. And no, you know, it only proves fakery. It doesn't prove around. And a lot of people use that Baumgartner jump as proof of the globe Earth. It's like, no, it just shows New Mexico all just as one planet. And so, yeah. And so, you know, the flat earthers make a lot of good points. And so I asked these people who are so violently opposed to the conversation of flat Earth. I say, well, what's your theory on why NASA's doing all this fakery? And they usually come back with, oh, well, NASA's just, you know, stealing money from the public, and but you see, I believe it's something more than that. I mean, yes, NASA is stealing money from the public, but they're covering up something, a big lie. They're covering up something that we probably need to know. And that's why they're going to such efforts to do this propaganda on us to get us to live in a false universe. And, you know, a lot of stuff in the Bible is about cosmology. You know, in fact, you get the Book of Enoch, where it describes a different cosmology than what we're being taught. And, you know, and a lot of other references in the Bible about cosmology that doesn't match what we're being taught right now. And so they're covering up a big lie, it's probably something on biblical proportions, I'm thinking. And so, you know, so it is interesting. You try to get to it. And I noticed that in a lot of those parades in Germany during the Third Reich, they would have swastikas that were inside of a sun. And the sun was a flat disc. And so the Germans seemed to believe in a different design of the sun. See, and it makes sense that we only see one side of the sun, because we only see one side of the moon. No one's ever seen the dark side of the moon. So what people say, I see globes when I look up in the sky. It's like, no, you don't. You're looking at a disc with downturned edges. That's what the moon is, because you've never seen the other side of the moon. And the sun has a dark side, and so that would explain, you know, the black sun.
Well, how do you explain this? I had a comment to say that if there was a flat Earth, you should be able to, you know, from the United States, see Paris. You should be able to see the Eiffel Tower from the United States.
Yeah.
So how do you? Well,
there's too much atmospheric. You can't see forever. There's all kinds of fog. There's all kinds of heavy atmosphere you got to look through. You can't see forever. And so, you know, and they've done a lot of good work with these lasers, you know, shooting them across the bodies of water, and the lasers go pretty far away.
I know, but did you ever see the one where they were trying to prove that? I think it was in Chicago or whatever, and they shot the laser across, and it didn't hit where they thought it was going to hit. It was off.
Oh.
And they were embarrassed. The flat earthers were completely embarrassed by it.
Well, I mean, it's hard to point a laser at a small target, you know, I mean, over a great distance. And so you really need a mechanical aiming system that's got real tiny gears, because you're really moving the laser very small increments. And so it's pretty, I get these people who say that they know that we went to the moon because when I was in college, we pointed a laser and we reflected it off, because Neil Armstrong supposedly put a reflector on the surface of the moon, which is about 1 foot by 1 foot square. And it's like, oh, you're telling me that you pointed a laser at this 1 foot by 1 foot square reflector and it bounced back? People have been bouncing lasers off the moon since 1962, since before we even went there. And so the laser will give a ping if you just point it at the moon. It doesn't mean that you're bouncing it off Neil Armstrong's reflector. I mean, come on. These people in college, they are not taught how to ask the right questions. It's like they're not taught how to think. They're being indoctrinated, and that's why they do this laser experiment with these college kids, and so that they can go out in the public and spread the rumor. Oh yeah, well we bounced it off in college, and so yeah, this whole outer space thing is really a huge.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems with outer space stuff. I mean, again, I don't have, you know, I really have to say, I don't take either side. I just like facts. I want to just see what you have to show me of facts. And what I see, like a lot of times I see stuff that just makes sense. Now, here's something that someone made a point about. What do you think of this? Because they want you to think that the Earth is spinning 24,000 miles per hour. It's going like this, right? And then of course, it's going around like this, what, 66,000 miles per hour? Like that. Okay, so let's just deal with the spinning. So the Earth is spinning like this, 24,000 miles per hour. So what? Here's the test, okay? You take a cannon, you put the cannon straight up, and you shoot the cannonball straight up. Now, I don't know how to answer it, so I'm just asking. So you shoot the cannonball straight up, and it should come straight down, right? And it should land right, you know, well, according to the Earth spinning, it shouldn't land where it was shot off. It should be farther somewhere.
Yeah, it should drift down to the west because we're spinning east to west. Yeah.
If it comes right back down in the same spot,
Eric DeBay had mentioned an experiment, that they did once. They shot a cannon straight up, and on many of the shots, the cannonball would actually land right back into the muzzle. I mean, it came straight back down. And so, yeah, there is no Coriolis effect. There is no drifting of the cannonball when it's shot in a, you'd expect it to drift west because the Earth is spinning east to west. But yeah, it's never been proven. The motion has never been proven. And, you know, there's all kinds of different directions. We're also hurtling through the universe at, 600,000 miles an hour as we're rotating around the sun. Maybe at 24,000 miles, and then the Earth is spinning at a 1,000 miles an hour at the equator. The speed is 1,000.
Okay, is that the figure? Are you saying the Earth?
Yeah, something like 1,000? That. I remember.
Okay, so it's not 24,000; it's 1,000.
I think what we're going around the sun is 24,000. When the Earth is spinning at 1,000, and then we're going around and going around the sun at 24,000, and then the sun itself is going around the Milky Way at like 600,000. And then the Milky Way galaxy itself is going through the universe at like 1 million miles an hour or something. And so you got all these different movements.
Well, I mean, it's just, see, to me, I you know, how do they know all this stuff? You know, I think space is just way above everybody's pay grade. I mean, how do you figure out space? You know what I mean? I just don't understand it, you know?
I just make the promise. I say, you know, people get frustrated with me. I say, hey, look, you will never visit space. None of your children will ever go to space. It'll never happen. And so people are stomping their feet. It's like, you can't prove it. You've never been there. Right. It's like, well, I've never been to, I've never been to Australia, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's like, well, but you can go to Australia. You can actually buy a ticket and go to Australia. See, it'll never be commercially viable for an average citizen to go to space. They promised us it would be by the year 2001 that the average person would be able to buy a ticket, go up to a space hotel. But you see, that was a way off. I mean, we are nowhere close to that. They've been feeding us whoppers about outer space my entire life. From what I've been... Because I've been following the subject my entire life, and now looking back, it's like, wow, it has all been just a bunch of whoppers. And, you know, as you get older, it should become more clear to you that this is just a lark, especially since it takes us more than half a century to go back to the moon. It's like we stopped going to the moon after six times. I mean, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't happen.
Now, a couple things that... Again, I have all questions. I mean, because I really don't give two shits if it's flat or round. I don't. But I just like to look at the science of something, if it's right or if it's wrong. So I got two things. Okay, the sun. All right, they claim, well, first of all, they claim that space is a vacuum, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a vacuum. Now, if space is a vacuum, how can a rocket fly in space? Because if it's a vacuum... propulsion has to have something to push off. Mm-hmm. And if it's a vacuum, there's no air to push it off. So how could it be a vacuum? That I don't know. I'm just asking, you know, people have questions here about that. And then my other thing was, the sun, because if the sun is, you know, out there, it's a ball of fire, right? That's what it is. But then people say, oh no, it's not fire. It's, you know, nuclear, whatever, explosions or whatever, but you still need oxygen for something to burn. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever it is, you still need oxygen. And so if space is a vacuum, how does the sun work in a vacuum with no oxygen? And then they say they give us all this stuff, you know, fancy stuff about the sun being nuclear and it doesn't need oxygen. I look at everything that has to burn has to have oxygen. My opinion, yeah. I don't know if I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I used to ask that same question. It's like, how can, because I was seeing the NASA photographs and NASA tells us that the sun is a ball. But you see, with our own eyes, it looks like a disc to us. If you put up a filter and look directly at the sun, it looks like a disc. It looks the same as the moon, right? And so, you know, the Book of Enoch says that the sun and the moon are discs and they're both of equal size. And, you know, this is a different cosmology. And the Satanists who rule over us have got us living in a fake universe. And yeah, there is no propulsion there in a vacuum. I've heard people say that if you fired one of those retro rockets up there in a vacuum, it would just spin out of control because you're getting the inertia off the rocket, but there's no direction. And so it just spin out of control. And so, yeah, all these images of these spaceships are laughably fake, especially from the lunar lander when it was docking with the command module. That video is very fake. It's stop motion special effects. It's one of the ones we put up when we want to get a laugh. It's like because the Ed White's first spacewalk when he made his, I think it was 1964 or something, and it's all stop motion, and then his helmet swivels and he looks back at the camera. And it's like they didn't have swivel helmets, and it's all stop motion. You can tell it's 1960 special effects. And so, no, NASA's been caught in whoppers. They're using Hollywood special effects for many years, and that's why I say they can't recreate the moon landing because it'll look so much different than what it looked like in 1969. Because they're going to have to hire a new director. They're not Stanley Kubrick is not available anymore. They'll have to hire a new director. And as you know, if you followed Hollywood, whenever you switch directors, you're going to get a completely different look. And so they'll blow their cover if they try to do another moon landing, because it'll just look totally different. And
are they supposed to be doing another moon landing or something?
Yeah, the Artemis crew is supposed to go back and land on the moon. And they're going to
when's that going to happen on the moon?
They said next year or in.
Well, now that's going to be interesting. If they.
Oh yeah, we got a close eye on it, and we're seeing they're going to delay it, and they're going to make an excuse why they can't land on the moon. And
so do you predict that they'll never even do it?
You know, they can't do it because it'll look too different. What I predict is going to happen is they're going to have a catastrophic accident, you know, and the four members of the Artemis crew are going to die on the dark side of the moon. and then people like me say, and say, well, I still want to go back to the moon. Say, Phil, how dare you? It's too dangerous. We lost the Artemis crew. We can't go to the moon. We can't go to the moon.
Well, no, I mean, that's going to be the tell. That's going to be the tell. Okay. Yeah. So they say they're going to do it, and we're going to wait and see. And then all of a sudden, oh, it's been postponed for another 5 years. Oh, it's been, you know, and it's just, they keep it going.
They've been doing it my entire life. They keep postponing it. They've been promising it since 1972. They've been promising it. I mean, every 4 years they make another promise of going to the moon and they never do it. It's, you know, at a certain point, when you get to our age, it's like, no, this is just a carrot and a stick. They're just holding this carrot out on a stick. And at some point you just stop chasing the stick, right. and you stop and you look around and say, this is bullshit, you know? And so some people like to chase that stick for a lot longer, but you know, I'm a latecomer. I mean, it took me like 25 years to finally wake up to this. Other people have woke up to it long before me. It's like, I'm embarrassed that it took me so long to wake up to it, but other people older than me are just still chasing that stick. It's like, dude, you got to wake up, man. You got to just stop chasing the stick. It's not going to happen. NASA's been lying to you.
Yeah. Did you see? I sent you the video. Joe Rogan was talking to some guy, and the guy was showing about the atomic energy, you know, bomb and all that, and he was showing how it was all fake. All the buildings and all that stuff was just all fake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I posted it. Yeah, that was good. But the angle that he took was, well, okay, well, maybe the Americans were faking the footage, but it was because we had to scare the Russians that we had really powerful bombs. And it's like, no, the Russians were faking their events too. The only logical conclusion you get is that everybody was faking their atomic weapons. The Chinese were faking it. This is the allies of World War II, the Chinese, the Soviets, and the Americans have remained allies ever since. And the Cold War is fake. And we've been, all of us have been faking our atomic weapons. And I mean, it's not like we're best friends with the Chinese. We're not best friends with the Soviets. I like to describe it as we're all partners in crime. The United States and the Soviets and the Chinese did something very bad 80 years ago. And we all keep ourselves quiet. It's like, don't mention that we did that. We basically murdered the good people of Japan. We murdered the good people of Germany, committed a huge crime. And so we're just kind of partners in crime. And we just kind of we work off each other. We scare our populations with these nukes, and Russia scares their population, and America scares our population, and we scare our population of spies. Oh, the Russians are over here, and they're trying to steal our secrets from nukes. And then so that gives us an excuse to look into everybody's tax records, and you know, and look into everybody's private life. And so it's just an espionage trick is what it is. And it just they released this Oppenheimer movie just to remind us that we're supposed to be scared of nukes, because we've forgotten, because they've got us scared of all these other things that don't exist, like school shootings. And it's oh, we forgot to be scared of nukes. So we got to remind them they got to be scared of these stuff.
have they done any, has nuclear testing been banned?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why no one's been shooting off any bombs, right?
And I hear rumors that they want to bring it back because the Americans have to make sure their stockpile still works. And fine. You know, if they want to start letting off some more nukes in Nevada here, you know, this time I'll be ready, and I'll be downwind with my Geiger counter making a live video. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ready when they were doing it before. I was back in those days, I thought nukes were real, but I'll be ready this time. And I got my Geiger counter ready to go, and I'll be on the downwind side. And
you don't deny that they did explosions there and shut bombs off, because they claim they did 900 nuclear tests there or something.
They blew up TNT. Yeah, I've seen the crater field at the proving grounds, and yeah, they did. They're large craters. It looks like they blew up a whole bunch of TNT, but that's what it was. It just
right.
And TNT will make a mushroom cloud too, so you know, a small one. And so yeah, you know, and I know people get angry with me at that. I just posted a video just a few minutes ago about, I found a new article about Pearl Harbor. Some guy posted it to the internet. It was anonymous. I believe he's a retired Navy guy, and that's why he posted it as anonymous. But he makes all these good points that if the Arizona really blew up the way they told us, it would have leveled the entire harbor, because they told us that it had 400 tons of the magazine of the Arizona had 400 tons of dynamite, you know, ammunitions. It would have, he compared it with other ships that have blown up with that much armament on it, and it leveled the harbor. This one ship blew up 11 other ships, took out 11 other ships, because it just was, the explosion was so huge. But if you look at the Arizona, the crane docks are undamaged, and the entire hull of the Arizona is intact. You see, that ship would have blown to bits. Half of it would be gone. But the Arizona, the hull is completely intact. And so I said, it was a controlled demolition. He makes a good point. He makes a good case. And he shows us that Arizona sank from a controlled demolition. It was not hit by a bomb or a torpedo. And so I posted the link to the site, and I thought it was very interesting. But so people are arriving at this conclusion from different angles. I arrived at it because I couldn't find any dead bodies from Pearl Harbor.
Well, my problem,
he arrived at it a different way.
My problem with it is, okay, so they make a memorial site there, but normally when you have destruction, you know, either buildings or armaments or ships or whatever, you usually clean up the mess and get it out of there. And then you make a grave somewhere saying it happened. But for them to leave, I don't understand. I'm still trying to, again, it's not whether it happened or not. It's how they handle it. Why didn't they clean it all up? Well, they claim it's because they didn't want to defame the dead. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it was, to me, I'm looking at it. Why don't you just clean up the whole harbor and get it all nice and spiffy clean and get on with your lives? But they have to leave it there. That makes no sense to me. I don't know. What do you think?
It's a psychological value. Seeing the old rusty ship down there in the bottom of the harbor traumatizes us. It's like, oh my God, that's horrible. But you see, they've never shown us a dead body. And so in replacement of never showing us a dead body, they show us this rusty hole. And that makes us go home after we visit the site saying, oh my gosh, I was there. All those sailors are still on board. It's just so awful.
It's like, well, the Holocaust. I mean, you know, they have Auschwitz and, you know, instead of just bulldozing the place and get rid of everything. Oh no, that stays. And then you find out you got 2 million visitors a year going there and it's a Jewish memorial of people that they claim died and the money they make on this stuff. I mean, think about Hawaii, all the people that go to Hawaii. How many people that go to Hawaii never visit the ship? I kind of doubt, you know, they all go and visit the ship, right?
Yeah. A lot of people do. A lot of people go there. When I was in Hawaii, I skipped that. I was with my daughter and we were spending most of the time at the beach, it's a draw. I remember looking over at the harbor. I remember we were driving through Honolulu and I looked over, oh, there's Pearl Harbor. I said, okay, well, I saw it. Okay, let's go back to the beach. And, it is a big draw and, it's just meant to traumatize, the nature of it. And so this reveals a whole nother angle at how World War II started, because the mainstream controversy they want you to chase is that FDR knew that the Japanese were on their way and he stood on his heels and he allowed the Japanese to attack. And, you know, you can find those books on Amazon, and Jeff Bezos sells those books. That's what Jeff Bezos wants you to think. But you see, we got to think outside the Jeff Bezos box. And so what really happened is that nobody died. It was a drill. The Navy perpetrated a drill. And the same thing at the London Blitz. The British did it on the other side. And I also just released a video about the invasion of Poland, because the only information we get about the invasion of Poland comes from a guy named Julian Bryan, which he was an American journalist. And this guy's suspicious as hell. He does lots of trick photography. He creates illusions and he does little photo shoots in a deceptive way. And so if Julian Bryan is going to be the only source of our information from when the Germans went into Poland, well, then we need to completely throw it out and completely start from scratch, because he faked a lot of stuff in Poland there, that Julian Bryan guy. And so they were faking it in London with the London Blitz. They were faking it in Poland. And we Americans were faking it at Pearl Harbor. So it's like the entire war was started on a complete lie. And it was just the bully who was ganging up on Japan and Germany didn't want to be communists. And the Chinese communists were taking over Asia, and the Soviet Bolsheviks were taking over Europe. And Germany and Japan were resisting against this communist takeover. And we Americans went over there and tilted the scales and made sure the communists won. And so that's why we've been communists ever since. And that's why we've been perpetrating all these hoaxes. It's obvious. Other people get this weird idea that the Nazis are still alive and we still have escaped Nazis, and the Nazis are behind all these hoaxes. It's like, no, I can assure you the Germans were soundly defeated, and they were soundly squashed and never to rise again. And no, the people who are behind all these hoaxes are the people who won World War II. And it wasn't the Germans and it wasn't the Japanese. It was the Allies and the Soviet, our Soviet friends and our Chinese communist friends who won the war. And we're behind all these hoaxes. And then I get other people who say, because they also identify all these fake events like in Poland and the London Blitz and Pearl Harbor. But they say, well, the Germans were faking it, too. All that damage from Germany is all fake also. But I disagree. I've seen too many photographs, like that documentary Hellstorm, You see these raped girls. I mean, their faces are swollen because they've been punched, and their hands are swollen because they've been punching their attackers. You can't fake that. These girls have been raped, and then you find the corpses of these raped girls who have been raped, and you know that's something that's hard to fake. The German photos look real, and of the burned victims from Dresden. You know, those pictures look real to me, and so people sometimes take it too far. It's like, well, since the Americans are faking it, that means everybody was faking. It's like, no, we were faking it to start the war, and then we killed the people we wanted to kill, and then we've been faking all these other events ever since. Like 9/11 was a picture show, and so perpetrated by the same people who faked all these other events to start the war.
Yeah,
I imagine we killed real people in Iraq, that highway of death. But what happened there was, because I see real corpses, real burned soldiers inside those vehicles. But what happened there was, is they were tricked to go fight for their country. They were nationalists, and then we trapped them all on that one highway, and we just shot them like a turkey shoot, and we just killed them. Once they were trapped, we just killed them, and they were just nationalists who wanted to defend their country, Iraq, from the invading Americans. And but you see, this communist world has no room for nationalists. If you're a nationalist, you got to go. And that's what they're doing over in Ukraine right now. Is they're also trapping all the nationalists. They're giving out free AK-47s. Oh, go die for your country. And then they trap them and they kill them. And it's a trap. And they're using our nationalism against us. And so don't operate on your nationalist feelings, because we live in a communist world, and they know how to trap us. And so, just don't pick up a gun. Don't join any of these fights. It's all.
Well, it seems like, my view anyway, any country that the United States invades, there's a reason why they're invading it. It's not because they're trying to, you know, for democracy purposes. Okay. They're getting into that country because they want something from that country. Well, they're going to use that invasion for something else later on. And I know in the 60s and 70s, when the United States was going into South America, you know, they were going there to protect the banana companies. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because the people were striking and they weren't happy with what was going on down there. And the United States goes and invades the country, but they want you to think that they're invading the country for some democratic thing. But no, you're invading the company because you're protecting all the businesses and the capitalists that own businesses down there, so they can continue on in their businesses using the labor of the people and take advantage of them. But no, they want you to think they're invading that country because something bad happened that's going to affect the United States and the people of the United States from democracy. And I'm saying, no. Always look at why they are invading. What are they getting from that country? That's my opinion, because there's been no country the United States has gone into, I think, on a defensive way, you know, like they invaded us first. No, we're always invading them. And want something from them. That's just my opinion, you know.
Oh, I know. Once you break it down, it's like and once you study history in an honest way, and if you don't come to the conclusion that America is the great Satan, well, then you just haven't studied history in an honest way.
Well, here's the thing about, you know, when I was brought up as a kid, I always felt that the government was here to protect you, and you always felt protected, like, oh. Well, you know, the government's doing everything here for our benefit. They're not going to do anything to you that's going to be negative. It's going to be positive, and they're going to help you. Now I'm looking at it now. It's like everything that's going on in our government now is to kill us. I mean, that's what it looks like they're doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're not lengthening our lifespans. I mean, the medical industry seems to be going backwards since 1945. I think people were living longer back in the early part of the century. I really do. When I look at those old home movies from the Third Reich, you know, everybody was healthy. I mean, everybody was fit. I think Hermann Goering was the fattest guy in Germany. And, you know, now I look at Hermann Goering and he looks skinny compared to my fellow Americans. It's like we need to lose weight so we can look like Hermann Goering. But no, everybody in Germany there, Hitler was feeding these people healthy food. Nobody was overweight. All the young kids had All the girls had their hair braided. All the boys had the handsome haircut, and everybody was wearing nice clothes. I mean, even nice to in today's standards. I mean, all the children looked like they came from good homes, and it's like, boy, you know, these people had a pretty high lifestyle. And the older those movies get, the more stark it looks. It's like almost these movies are about 100 years old now. And if you look at those old movies from Germany, it's like, wow, those people were living large. They were living good, you know, 100 years ago.
Yeah, you ever notice when they? I mean, you're right. When I look at the pictures, especially the German pictures, everybody's like thin. There's nobody fat.
Yeah.
I don't know. They look like they were doing something right, you know.
And he was creating a baby boom. I mean, Hitler was making a baby boom. I mean, he was encouraging couples to get married and having four children so the government absolutely can install measures that increase birth rates. And Adolf Hitler proves that to us, because when he got in there, he encouraged the birth rates. And see, this is one of the main things the bankers couldn't allow happen, because Germany was having a baby boom. It's like they could not allow that to happen. And so that's one of the main reasons why they had to bring the whole mob against Germany to stop this baby boom that Adolf Hitler started. And now we can see what our government is doing in our country. Which groups of people are they encouraging to have babies, and which ones are not having babies? And we can see it with our own eyes. It is not us. They are not encouraging people like you and me to have babies. You know,
I think what's happening
are replacements. Our replacements are having all the babies.
The whites are not having babies because they can't afford to have babies. Okay, because they can't afford.
Neither can these other people. They can't afford it, but they do it.
But here's the difference. Okay. So now what they're doing, and they're bringing in the white replacement. Okay, yeah. And they're giving them everything so they can do it, but they're not helping the white people here so that they can survive.
Well, we can get on the same we can get on the same welfare programs that they're on, but I mean, for them, like I got people around me and like from Mexico, and you know, they get married to a plumber or a gardener, and they have four babies with a gardener, and it's like, but you see, no girl wants to have four babies with me. You know, because I've been a plumber my entire life. It's appealing to them, but it's not appealing to our people. And so, and they get by. They don't see any problem with it. I mean, what they do is they have four babies, and then they get on some assistance, and then the husband works as a plumber. And but to them, they're in a happy time there. I mean, because they are in a conquest state, because they know that they are completely taking over, and see, they're enjoying a happy time, whereas our people are in a state of decline, and so we are not in a happy time, and so our birth rates plummet, and it's all from government propaganda, and Adolf Hitler proved it, that the government can in fact stimulate birth rates in any direction they want it to go. And Adolf Hitler made it to where the Germans were having all these. That's why he had the Hitler Youth, and the youth of Germany was being brought up to be the new replacement. But we've got in our country, we've got different. Our replacements look different than us, right?
Yeah,
I go downtown, it's like, oh, there's my replacement.
Yeah, I know. in Massachusetts, they're starting to bring the refugees in now. Okay, they're bringing them in. In my town there. Framingham, and we got 40 families coming in. Yeah, you know what that 40 families are going to turn into? It's going to turn into like about 200 people eventually. Yeah. You know, within a year or two, because they're gonna crank out the kids like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. And then they want us to support them. They want donations. They got no place to put them, so they're looking for the Americans to put them up in houses, in apartments or whatever. And this is the start. It's going to just really turn bad.
Yeah, it's already over. I mean, we are already the minority, and we are past the point of no return at this point. And so I kind of give up on. I mean, America. I think maybe if there's any place we can try to save, maybe we can try to save Western Europe. We need to save Germany, France, and England. You know, Denmark, Sweden. We could, what we can do is we can, but those places are just about a minority also. It's almost, they're checkmated at this point too. But what we can do is we can go take all the invaders from those countries and send them to America, because America's already a lost cause anyway. Yeah. Send them all to America, and we can try to clean up Western Europe and try to, so that we can have one place that we can call our own, because right now we don't have any country that we can call our own. Not one place on Earth. Yeah. Maybe Iceland. Iceland is the last place. But I mean, you know, Iceland's pretty small, and you know.
Yeah. Now you live in California, right?
Yeah. So
now how's things going where you live with all this immigration stuff and all that?
Oh, it's over. Yeah, I'm already ruled by. We have a Mexican mayor. The last mayor was transgender, and so you know. I have zero representation here, you know. And now our new mayor is Mexican, and our police chief is Mexican. Our Senate representative is Mexican. It's over. It's there's no going back. So at this point, it's like, but you know. I'm witnessing the collapse of Western civilization, and I think all of us have our lives. The world has steadily gone communist at full speed, and hopefully we can try to save, you know, Western Europe, and because they're in bad shape too. And I get banned from Western from Europe my shows. Our friend Ray said that. Twitter is allowing BitChute to, if you can post a link from BitChute, you never used to on Twitter, but now you can.
Yeah.
And so during this short little interval where Twitter is not managing their janitorial duties, I suggest everybody post this video and everything else from your site, my site, post it on Twitter and let it go viral. And while they're asleep at the wheel right now. And so, yeah, I'm starting to post more stuff on Odyssey, I think, because I'm not banned in Europe on Odyssey. So I'm trying to upload my important videos onto Odyssey right now. And but, you know, it's just so we'll just try to reach people however we can, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't get discouraged by any, but I just look at it is what it is. Let's get the information out. Let's tell people, you know, what the truth is. About whatever we're talking about, and that's it. I mean, that's all we can do. We it's hard to fight the system, okay? That's against us. So I look at it. We're trying to help individually, people, one person at a time, getting them to understand what the hell's going on, and hopefully they can share the information with somebody else. And you know, that's as far as we can go. And I don't think we're going to change the government here. You know, like this whole thing with Trump coming on the scene again. You know, all that bullshit. Yeah. Trump just works for the Jews. I don't know how.
It's a soap opera. Yeah, he's just a character.
Come on, folks. I mean, really? It's stupid.
No, people can't see that we're not getting any representation from any of neither side represent our interests. Is this the same thing that they were going through in Germany when Adolf Hitler was making those speeches saying talking about the old regime and how there was no choice on either side. It was just fake politics. And that's what we live in, the Weimar 2.0. It was just all fake politics. We're not getting representation from anyone. This is, and yeah, the only thing real died in 1945, and we've been living in fake world ever since.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not too positive. Well, Phil.
I know. Sorry. I'm sorry okay. Being a bummer again.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, Phil, thank you for being on. We'll continue on our discussion. You know, with more topics, you know, later on with Phil and me. And again, people, remember what Phil said about Twitter. If you're on Twitter, start sharing the videos that you see on BitChute or whatever. Throw them onto Twitter. Get stuff on the Twitter now. Hopefully, people, you know, on that platform will start to see some of the stuff that they probably have not seen being on Twitter. So that's a good thing we're going to try to do. Okay, Phil. Well, thank you for being on, Phil, and we'll talk to you another time, okay?
All right. See you, Jim. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Bye.